I'm tapping in with Penitentiary to Penthouse Podcast. One of the most craziest things that happened to me when I was locked up, it was probably when I was probably about 17, probably about 18, 19. I just got locked up. They had just sentenced me to 26 years. I'm upstate. I'm in a satellite camp. My little cousin come up there, but he about 5'3", 5'4", and he rap. So the Saints was playing. The Saints must have was losing, but come back at the end of the game and won. Right? So when they won, my little cousin wrote a rap song. I shook back like the Saints did that. About to touch down and fuck a hood rat. So I still remember it. You know what I'm saying? So he's singing it because he had his money bet, so he won. So we go to the child hall. When we go to the child hall, he's still singing it. He's still excited. He just wrote the rap. He just won him some money. So they got a dude named Chew from Shreveport. Big old cocky dude. He was the crip big dog of the rolling 60s up there.
Yeah.
I don't know him at the time. No, I'm lying. About 2 days prior to this, Chew just coming out of dome. And the minute he walked in the dome, he went straight to the TV and changed the TV. In my mind, I'm saying, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. So he already have this big dog mentality, and that's something I ain't like for somebody. You know, I ain't like bullies. You know what I'm saying? I ain't like bullies, and he come in the dome as a bully, and I'm skinny, small, but I still have the mentality. I don't like bullies.
Right.
So that energy that he came in the dome with just changing the TV.
You didn't like it.
I ain't like it. Mm-hmm. I ain't say nothing at the time, but I knew in my mind, we're going to have trouble. 2 days later, my little cousin wrote the song in the child hall. He's singing the song. He tell my little cousin, man, shut the fuck up.
Mm.
He's sitting where you at. My little cousin's sitting on my side right here. I got the tray in front of me. When he said it, my hands start shaking. I got the tree. Now, I want to smack him in the face with the tree, but I also want to challenge myself, too. Like, man, fuck him. I don't care how big he is. I'm going to fight him. You know what I'm saying? So I slid my cousin my tree. I'm like, put that up. Homie, when you come back to the dome, come see me. He's shocked. So when he's shocked, he come back to the dome.
He used everybody tuck and tail.
Yeah, so he's shocked. So when he come back to the dome, I'm strapped up. I'm inside the cut. Now, they got the cut probably as big as this.
I-10.
Yeah, so you got bunks all the way around it, right? So we get in the circle. Boom, he come. He big and cocky, so he swing wild. I'm slim at the time, so I'm throwing jabs. Hit him about 2-3 times, he'll grab me. When he grab me, everybody in the dome will grab him because it's a no wrestling rule in effect. I got enough respect in the dome where they're not going to let you wrestle me.
Okay.
I'm going to play this to my advantage. I know I can sling him, but I know if you grab me, you can manhandle me. So I start using that to my advantage. I know when you grab me, they're going to grab you and break us up. At that time, I'm going to hit you about 4 times. Boom, 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 boom. Grab you again. He'll grab me, put my head under the bunk, punch me in my body. But I know.
Somebody coming.
Yeah, yeah. So about
that's a nice little backup to have. I like
so
that.
So I know every time I get off on him, boom, 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 boom. He gonna grab him because he can't take the lick, so he rather wrestle. So when you start wrestling, I know that they coming. So I'm gonna grab my energy. I'm gonna put it in my mind and accept your licks when you know what I'm saying. When you grab it, because I know
you have a few seconds when they pull him off.
And I gotta exert some more energy.
Mike Tyson punch out. And he's like, yeah. And that's you.
Look, so everybody like, man, Steve, he's steady grabbing you. He's steady grabbing you. Fight him outside. So we inside for the whole weekend. It's raining. We're in a satellite camp. So
which camp was you at?
Basil.
Oh, God.
Who was in Basil?
That's like Pine Prairie.
Yeah, that's right down the street. Mm-hmm. That was like Pine Prairie twin sister. Yeah. People from Pine Prairie come. Yep. So then at this time, you got, you know, dudes from New Orleans and dudes from Shreveport.
Never good mix because everybody beefing.
Yeah, right, but at this time, before me and the dude got into it, the blood, big dog, dude named Snake, come to me and like, listen.
I was in Catahoula with Snake.
Big old Snake, look like Mike Tyson.
Old cat, though.
Yeah, look like Mike Tyson.
Real cocky.
Real cocky.
Yeah.
Snake come to me and be like, he come to me. Now, he a blood big dog and Chew the Crip big dog. They from Shreveport, but you know, they still got their status.
Yep.
He come to me and like, man, that's between y'all. You know what I'm saying? I know that's, you know, I know he from the hometown, but we not going to get into it. So the blood stood down. From the word say go. So when we start fighting for 3 days, nobody else around the compound know that, you know what I'm saying, it's just between me and him. All they hearing is that we was fighting. So we'll fight 2-3 days. We'll look at each other.
Ting, 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 ting.
Yeah. And go back in the cut. The guard's coming. Break it up. My nose broke. My eyes swole. Wake up. Put something on it. See them later on that day, look in each other's eyes. Bing, 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 bing. So we did this from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday, they let us out. When they let us out, I get on the yard. You got about 100 dudes from Shreveport and Alex, you know, from that area in
they
one
stick
corner.
Together, too.
Man, I look back. You got Baton Rouge, New Orleans. I got about 200, 300 dudes behind me like, Steve, what's up? One dude walk up on me with a shank as long as my arm. You want this? You need this? I'm like, no, I'm straight.
It's like a goddamn movie.
He felt more played than me because he felt like he was supposed to knock me out because, yeah. You know, you a big dog. You were supposed to be running. Yeah, you were supposed to be finished me. We've been fighting 2-3 days, the compound hearing about this. So you feel more played than me because I feel like I did what I needed to do. Before you know it,
G fight.
No.
No?
Every security officer they had on their task force running the yard locked us up. Exciting a ride, setting the whole
somebody told on y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I bet you, I don't know for sure, but he probably sent the little tell.
Probably, he was a real dude.
He was?
Yeah, he's a real dude. Okay. Because, man, him, look, when they put us on. For a sight and a ride, they put us on the same tier. So we stood probably 2 cells apart from each other for about 5-6 months on lockdown.
On lockdown? Y'all never had no beef after that?
We ain't had no beef. The respect was established.
Yeah. Well, he ain't had nothing, no choice.
You're going to quit before I quit. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to care out. You're going to quit before I quit. And that's the number one rule. Do not tap out.
Yeah.
Once you tap out, it's over with.
Yeah. You're gonna have all types of other problems that come with that. Because everybody be like, he tapped out.
I don't care if you got to fight till you can't.
Tomorrow,
don't tap out.
The next day.
I was looking at social media. They got 6ix9ine.
Mm-hmm.
He balled up on the ground. I'm like, you tapped out. Is oh,
you can expect that from a guy like him,
right? Because he's like, some bitch ass dude.
I said that's fitting. You know what I mean?
Was that recently?
It was yesterday.
I don't pay attention.
He got beat up in the gym in New York.
Had him on the ground, balled up, pulling him by himself.
He had to go get rushed to the hospital.
Oh, hey, T's and P's to Tech9, man. Yeah.
Hey,
Tekashi.
Tekashi. This is Scott with Penitentiaries to Penthouses. We're here. On the left of me, we got your best friend in real estate.
For all your real estate needs.
And if you're looking to sell your homes, holler at me. We're looking to buy them.
We want your dumps.
In front of me, I got my boy, Steve Roy.
Whoa, what's that?
Originally from the West Bank.
From the railroad.
Hey, bro, do you remember the 9 o'clock props?
Yeah.
The 9 o'clock props is on. Tell me where.
I got a song in here.
From the 9 o'clock props?
No, one of my right-hand man, he remade it. That's one of our favorite songs.
I used to listen. So I lived in Metairie, in Harahan, until I was like 10. Then we moved to Denham. Well, I was so accustomed to Q93, I could at a certain spot in my room, I could catch Q93 on fuzz. So I would catch the 9 o'clock props, and I would be in my room ducked down because I didn't want my mom to hear, you know? So I'm in there listening, and I was always listening. Marrero, people call for Marrero more than anywhere in the city. It was always Romero.
Shit, they ain't had nothing else to do.
Did you call in and rap?
No. At that time, I was around rap, but I wasn't, you know, the one that was really rapping. Yeah. I always loved music, still to this day.
Yeah.
But at that time, two of my, I call them my cousins, but they was rapping. They was supposed to become the new Rootless Juvenile.
Oh, okay.
If y'all remember Rootless Juvenile.
Yeah, that was Cash Money's.
That was Mobile Joe.
Or were they with Big Boy?
You had three main companies in New Orleans then. You had Cash Money.
No Limit.
No Limit.
Big Boy.
Big Boy wasn't even around then. You had Mobile Joe Records.
Oh, okay.
That's with Cheeky Black, Ricky B, Shake It For Your Hood If It's All Good. Better Watch Them Hoes When You're Sleeping. Because, you know, all them songs. Rootless Juvenile. Then you had Uptown. You had, you know. So you only had three labels.
So they was with them.
Ruthless Juvenile, you were thinking just regular.
No. I know who Ruthless Juvenile was, but I thought
Juvenile was locked up with him.
Yeah.
One of the members was locked up with us.
Yeah. What's his name?
4-9.
Not 4-9.
It's something.
He was on Rainyard, wasn't he? Yeah. We'll remember. You know what else I didn't realize? We're going to get into the story, but I guess Brother.
Yeah,
all right. I never knew Brother was tied in with Birdman and all them
family.
And BG and stuff like that. I come home, I'm listening to old Cash Money stuff, and I kept hearing Brother. LB, Donald D, and I asked Pendleton. I'll be JPay and Pendleton. And I said, "Let me ask you a question. I never asked this before because I never put two and two. I said, brother, the guy that used to live with us, is he like cool with, you know, our name, dog? He's like, yeah, man, that's their people.
That's their family.
I said, I didn't even know. I lived in the dorm with him, hung out with him all the time, never even knew.
Yeah, that's family.
Because he's so humble. He's
humble.
He don't talk about it. He's got his cool little job that he keeps.
And been there for years. And
been there for years in the visiting shed. He goes to church. He don't do no violating. He's humble. He's just humble, man.
He's humble. And he always the same in the
visiting. But he was like, so I got to digging. He was really that dude out there.
That'd be the ones, the most humble ones that doesn't look like nothing affect them, got a level head on their shoulder, can turn around and be.
He's a good guy.
Right.
And I hope he comes home. In fact, I started following his son.
His son rap.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram.
His son, I just like something.
Because I had found him because he had posted.
Lakari or something like that.
Skinny kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he reached out to me.
He had posted a picture of him and his dad, and I said, brother. And then. But the son was like linked up with Birdman and them. That's how I found the thing because he had Tabor and I seen. I said okay, and then I saw. That's how I saw the picture of brother. And then I asked Penn.
Yeah. It'd be a small world.
Yeah. So tell everybody where you from.
I'm from Moraro. Grew up in Westminster. In Moraro, it's the first neighborhood when you hit Moraro coming from the West Wego area. Stayed there till I was about 13, 14. My mama died after that. Just roamed throughout the city. You know what I'm saying? Until I got locked up until I was about 17.
Well, like your upbringing and everything, did you come from just a
I come from a good family.
Yeah.
I come from a good family. My mom was an independent single woman, had six children. She overcame a lot. She was originally come from St. Louis.
Okay.
Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. East St. Louis. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So she was in East St. Louis. So all my siblings from East St. Louis. I was born actually in Illinois.
Illinois.
Just came to New Orleans when I was about a month. You know what I'm saying? I come down here early. So all my life I've been in New Orleans. But mama come from East St. Louis. When she comes, she was a nurse practitioner. What she called a stroke. So from when I was probably about 7 to about 11, you know, my mama couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair, you know what I'm saying? But she started walking again. The doctor told her that she'd never walk, but she started walking again. Started walking again. After she started walking, she started a home health company in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
She died in 1996. Still to this day, that company is still very vital.
And that's the company that you have.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that a little bit later because I was telling Jim and them about it.
So, but coming up in a single family home, you know what I'm saying? My mama working in the hospital. I only have all older siblings. I was in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My daddy wasn't around. He came later on in life, but at this time,
it was too late.
Yeah. It was too late for you to say something because I, at this time, learned how to make some money
mm-hmm.
by any means. You know what I'm saying? So, what you saying? I go buy my own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy my own polo. If not, I go steal it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it. I don't need you. And to the point where I couldn't even. My daddy couldn't even raise his voice at me because I didn't know you like that. You know what I'm saying? So when you did it,
you weren't gonna give him the response. That he was looking
but
for.
Now as a man, I'm like, damn. I did. You know what I'm saying? I could have accepted that differently. I could have went about that differently because he did too.
You had a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. So when, but I ain't realized that until he died when I was locked up. I'm like, damn, I didn't even get a chance to know my daddy. You know what
I'm saying? Was your dad in New Orleans or St. Louis?
He was in. My daddy from Chicago.
Okay.
My mama from East St. Louis. East so my daddy come down from Chicago, stayed with us for about 2 years. But in that 2 years, you know what I'm saying, we had our
ups and downs.
I don't even know if he was around when my mama died. I don't know if he left before then or after that. That time just like a blur. You know what I'm saying?
What year did your mom die?
1996.
So that was before you did your time?
Yeah, I was 15. I was 15.
So how did that impact you? That made you go hard?
That made me go harder. Nobody can't tell me nothing.
I know.
My daddy living, he can't tell me nothing. My mama dead, the only one who I really felt could, you know what I'm saying, show me the love or the guidance that I needed. My big brothers, they my big brothers, so I'm going to rebel against them. You know what I'm saying? So
Was they not in the streets?
One of them was in the street. The other two wasn't.
But,
so they really didn't. We was the youngest. The two youngest was in the streets, not the two oldest.
Mm.
So it's the youngest children, you know what I'm saying?
Wilding. I know.
In and out of jail, juvenile, did juvenile time. But when my mama was living, I never did no time.
She kept you straight, or tried.
She kept them people from doing anything they wanted with us.
I got you.
She was the type of person, I don't care if you're the judge, I don't care who you is, she gonna tell you what she gotta tell you. Right. And I have that trait from her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't feel intimidated to talk to nobody or tell you what I need to tell you. And that's how she was. And she did it with the principals. She did it with the judges. You know what I'm saying? Y'all not just going to do my child. Or, no, my child don't need that. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? You know, most parents would just sit back.
Take the consequences.
No, yeah. She didn't allow them. Yeah, I understand my child did that. So she ain't expressing herself to the point where the judge is like, all right, Ms. Roy. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to let her take care of you as opposed to putting you in the system.
But see, when she died and you don't have that voice, upstate I go. Mm-hmm. And I went upstate bad. The police put coke on me to send me upstate as a juvenile.
So you got sentenced as a juvenile?
No.
Oh.
When I was on juvenile, I had a fight. I think I had an aggravated battery and they put me on probation. So while I'm on probation, I'm with my partners. We about to go to Team Summit. We on our way across the river.
Teen Summit.
It's like some shit. With
church?
No. Oh. It was like they'll have rap performances.
Teen Summit.
Teen Summit. Is that BET or something?
BET, oh, okay. Q93 or some shit used to have.
Yeah.
So we about to go to that, but we hit the bridge. My little partner got crack on. So he like, man, hold up, man. Let me try to make a few sales. I'm like, man, you tripping. You done made enough money. Come on, man. We on our way. We about 15, 16. He like, no, man, let me just take care of this. We go in the hotel room. When we go in the hotel room, an old-timer stop us. He's saying somebody wants something. So when we get in the hotel, when we walk in there, I'm like, man, bro, we tripping. We should have went straight across the river. That's my words. So I go in the bathroom. I go take a piss. They got a hole in the bath and a hole in the wall. I'm like, say, B, if the people come in here or the people come outside, there's a fire stash spot right here in the wall. See, when I walked out the bathroom, I sat down, I cut the TV on, a Tupac video came on because it's about 96, 97.
California Love?
I don't know which one. No, he had on all white.
Okay. I missed it.
I ain't mad at you. Look, okay. When I sat down, I put you know, I cut the TV on. The police coming. I kicked the door down.
In a hotel.
Now, at this time, my partner
Sell to an undercover?
The old timer who stopped us and said somebody wanted something must have straight up told the police they got something. They going in room such and such. So by the time we wasn't in there now, probably 2 minutes. Because when I come out the bathroom from pissing, my partner went in there and started pissing. He the one got the crack. So it busts. Boom. My partner got the crack in his ass, in the cheeks of his ass. You know, he just don't have it in his pants pocket because he did time before.
Yeah, he knows.
He older, so he know where to put it. You know what I'm saying?
In the cheeks.
In the cheeks. Straight in the cheeks.
That's your purse.
That's your purse. So they don't find it. Right? But he got... All right, he got 2 quarters on him. He got a quarter in his pocket, and he got the quarter in his cheeks. They find the quarter in his pocket, right? So me and my other little partner, we just handcuffed. They find that. So they put all 3 of us in the car. See, by the time we got to jail, all 3 of us had 2.5.
Oh, they distributed it amongst
all 3 of us.
So they can send you, yeah.
So I'm already on juvenile probation, so that sent me
up.
From the fight, so that sent me upstate. That was my fuck.
How many years did you do on that?
I probably did about 8-9 months.
Okay, and then you come back home?
Because I went to boot camp. Yeah, I went to Tallulah. I went to boot camp.
Ah, yes.
That's when they had the little boot camp in Tallulah.
Mm-hmm. So you come back home.
What's the boot camp mean? Like that's boot camp. That's not military, huh?
It was like military. It was for the juveniles. It was like military.
Shape they have that at Hunts now, I think.
Yeah, you had the cater callers, you know, PT working out in the morning, challenging each platoon.
No, they really do it like boot camp in the
like
military.
Yeah.
I was the cater caller up there. I still do some of that shit. Hey, ladies. Look where they got me. Look where they got me.
That's what
me.
Y'all was saying when y'all marched.
Yeah, way up north. Way up north, well, you can't come and see me. You can't come and see me. They wake me up at 5 o'clock. March me till my body drop. March me till my body drop. Say, Sarge, I'm getting tired of your shit.
Y'all didn't say that in front of them, huh?
In a few more months, I'm out this bitch. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're young, so they let you make up what you want to make up. So with me always, like, you know, writing, I felt like, hey, I'm cool for that. So I was the dude who would be on side the platoon. You know, hey, you know.
Starting the chance.
Starting the chance.
So you, what year did you come home from that?
Probably 97.
And you just started wilding back out?
Oh, I chill. Probably, I come home to money.
Okay.
I come home to the change because I was getting my, from my mama debt, I was getting $968 a month. So I was getting, I come home to that back pay, right? Mm. So when I come home to that back pay, that led me back to hustling.
Yeah, you got to score with it. You got to flip it. Man,
I'm good.
So whenever y'all are, like, whenever your boy was selling crack in 1996, what does that cost? Like what would?
A quarter was for 7.5 gram quarter was for $225.
Jeez.
But you had crack, but.
So an ounce was $1,000?
Yeah. Well, if somebody give you an ounce for $800.
$800, if you buy
But you'll make powder. You know what I'm saying? You sell powder bags. So off a quarter, you was bagging up almost $700 of powder bags, mm-hmm. making dime bags. So you'll go spend $200 and make damn near $700 on powder bags. Mm. I ain't never did like selling crack because I ain't like dealing with the junkies. My nerves too bad. They're trying to get over on you. Even with the coke, they're going to try to get over on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that, you know, yeah, they going to come the first few times, correct? But then they're going to start a coke.
Anything goes.
Yeah. Hey, let me get it on the front. I'll give it to you when I get paid.
But that coke was the money back then. And coke's still the money for some people out here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the United States let it through.
Mm.
And they're going to put it on there. That's shit. They pay the bills.
Yeah.
What's crazy about it, because they use those same, they use us as stocks and bonds.
Yeah, the prison system.
The prison system. So once you start looking at it from a different view and like, this shit all a game. This shit all about money.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this shit is all about money.
So now if you compared dope dealing back in the 90s to today, like, what do you think about the rapid amount of people that are dying from fentanyl, and then the people that are like lacing, like even like Listen. I don't understand lacing coke with fent,
right? Because
or meth with fent,
because it's at that time you speedballing,
yeah. Right?
And I come up in New Orleans, right? And everything is led by culture or perception of culture, right? Mm-hmm. So at the time you had BG, you had Soldier Slim, you know what I'm saying?
Snorting powder bags.
I remember coming home from jail on a carjacking charge and. I will give you that dope dick, but I don't fuck around no more. And I'm 4 or 5 days clean from not doing heroin, right? Because at this time, doing heroin was like dudes was taking perks. Perks and heroin is basically the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same drug. It's grew from the same source. You know what I'm saying? It's just different.
One's raw, one's pill.
Right, yeah. And you're hitting it with some Tylenol. So how they rapping about perks now
is what they did with heroin.
So dudes... You wasn't looked down upon if you did heroin back then. You know what I'm saying? Chicks wanted that dope dick. You was looked at as being cool because you had a bag of dope. You know what I'm saying?
Hold up. What's dope dick?
Dope dick is fucking...
Yeah, so if you get on opiates, I'm just using OC.
Oh, you
opiates.
Just get all rocked up?
Yeah, you can't bust.
You can't bust.
You're in there for... Okay. You're thumping like
whiskey dick.
But like times 100 because you could be in there for 3 hours sweating.
One of them bought and sold at Circle K, you know?
So. The rhinos. Yes.
Well, that shit gonna give you a headache.
Yeah.
But make your own.
Okay, so now we know what dope dick is.
So at that time, you got, you know what I'm saying, you have the rappers who leading the city. Telling you about getting, you know, snorting dope. So you looking at that like, hey, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You got the rappers not telling you
perks.
But now you got the rappers not telling you fentanyl.
Fentanyl. They are rapping about fentanyl. I knew the perk was fake because I still ate.
Right. Now you got the rappers talk about pushing the fentanyl. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like this. I'm not that hard up behind no money. Well, I won't kill you or possibly kill you just to make some money.
Yeah, you want those reoccurring funds too, though.
Right, so why I'm a play on my clientele like that? I don't want you to die. I want you to come back a year from now.
Yeah.
Because you're going to come back every day.
That's the difference between the game.
I'm not just trying to beat you down. Yeah, everybody done sold whammies, but at the time, the whammies wasn't killing them people.
Yeah.
You'll put something in the whammy just to make that money and you gone. You laughing about
She-Rock.
Yeah, you laughing about it. I got that bitch. I got that bitch. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? But you going to buy something real with the fake money. Yeah. You know, with the shit that you sold. Now you going to get something real because you don't want to be out this bitch with whammies. Right. You know what I'm saying? You don't want, you want money. You don't want to run your clients up.
Yeah, I've done it before. I used to buy little blue pills from Walgreens that looked like Roxy's. And I would sell them like 100 or 200 at a time. At the time, you get like $10 to $15 a piece for the Roxy's.
Shout out Walgreens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pills, see, and that's the same thing with pills.
Pharmaceuticals.
Like, I broke my L5. I fell off my motorcycle. Still to this day, my L5 fracture. I go straight to the doctor. She don't know nothing. You want some Narcos? Yeah, give me some Narcos. Yeah, give me the strongest ones. Give me some 10s. Mm-hmm. You think 30 will be all right? No, I need them 3 times a day.
90.
Since you want to just push this shit on me, you know what I'm saying? Not knowing who I am, not knowing I'm not about to be addicted to an opium because I did opium as a child, but the doctors don't care because it's all money driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since it's money driven, I'm going to let it drive some money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's all they be doing.
That's all they do.
So you were rocking around with the motorcycle out here wearing some fly yellow and black J1s out here. So this dude's a real cool dude you brought on the podcast today.
Thank you,
Scott.
My man. Appreciate you. You got to come tap in. I got a clothing store.
Mannequin black. Tell us what about your chores that got you sent to the penitentiary.
I went to jail on an armed robbery charge. I jacked the weed man.
The weed man called the cops on
the
you?
The weed man called the cops on me. Told the police that we come in this house.
Hold on.
I was a weed.
Hold on.
That's how you eliminate the enemies.
Back the line up. The weed man
called the police.
How many pounds did you get?
2 pounds.
And he called you
called
for 2 pounds?
He called the police, but he ain't just
was
called
it him. Good or was it swag?
He just ain't call us behind
it. No. I'm saying, was the weed swag or was it that
Reggie
drug?
Bush?
This was Reggie. This was back in the game.
So for 400, or I mean, back in the day, we
it was probably
pounds 800. Like
probably about
350. You know what I'm saying?
Probably about $800. $800 probably $800, but he called the police.
Have you ever ran across him again?
I ain't even know when he come to court.
Really?
He sat beside me. I'm sitting right here, my girl sitting right here, and a dude sitting on side of my girl.
And that was him?
That was him. But yeah. I had been gone for about 2-3 years after I got convicted, so I don't recognize his face, and I saw so many different faces, so I don't know where I know him from. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he could have just been anybody.
Right, so when I did realize that, I hopped up. I went to singing a Pac song, you know what I'm saying?
Which Pac song? California
know.
Love?
No, it was...
Wait, is that your favorite song? Is that the only song you know?
It was a Pac song. Because that's what we do.
I knew
you
wasn't singing California Love. That'd be pretty wild if he did, though.
Yeah, I'm the type of person in a fucked up situation, I sing a song but start smiling. You know what I'm saying? Just to,
how you cope.
Yeah, that's how I cope. If I'm playing poker or something, if I got a good hand, if I got a bad hand, I'm going to keep my little energy because I know somebody might be watching.
If ever given the opportunity to see him again, would you ever be like, man, that's my bad?
Yeah, I talk to him. Yeah. I talk to him. Why? Yeah. Because I know I probably, you know what I'm saying, nobody do got to live with that for the rest of his life, a gun to his baby head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the girl, too.
The girl, too. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't that serious, but it just...
That's how you was living, though.
That's how quick shit can escalate. You know what I'm saying? You're not going in there with the intentions on doing what you do. You're going in there, look, let's get this smoke. Let's go. But when the situation get out your hand and you got to resolve the situation just to make sure you get in and out
quickly. Yeah.
Shit, you know what I'm saying? So that probably is one of my biggest regrets in life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'm a man now. I look back on my actions.
And you got kids.
Damn, I don't have kids.
Oh, you don't have any kids.
I don't have kids.
But you can still relate, though.
I can relate because it was...
You're older now, too.
I never want to be that hard up behind nothing ever again.
Mm-hmm.
With a point where I'd kill somebody's baby or put somebody's baby in jeopardy behind something material.
Right.
So I don't value money no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not motivated by money no more because of that.
Yep.
So it has to be something passionate I'm pursuing. But my sister and I said, boy, when you ain't got no money, you change. And I had to, I do. Y'all serious? I change. You know what I'm saying? What behaviors change? What my attitudes? You don't want to talk to no one. But I'm glad they let me realize that because that's still, we never really...
Tapped into that.
No, we never really let go of who we was. Yeah. We just learned different methods of coping with or maintaining or, you know, becoming something better than who we was.
Yep.
But that who we was still in us. So when she told me that, damn, I get dark when my money low. That's not a good.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to go back to that life.
But that just let me know that that energy could still be there if, you know what I'm saying? But with her letting me know that, boy, I could tell when your money is funny, you change.
I'm the same way. You get a little sharper with people. You get a little bit, what?
No. But I don't want to be that way.
Yeah.
So I start working on, because I don't want money to have that type of control over me ever again, because I knew where money had took me.
You think at that point in time, though, you were having those feelings and not knowing, like you were doing it subconsciously without even knowing, like your money's low, now you're going to have an attitude? You know, like, do you think that, like...
That's why all the murder in the city, because they ain't got no money.
Yeah.
It creates, you never
want. By any means.
Yeah, you never want to feel like you can't afford, you don't know it. Man, it feel good not having to worry about if you could pay your rent for the next month, 2 months, or 3 months, even if you don't go to work or go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the position that I love now. You know what I'm saying? If I want to go to work tomorrow, if I want to take off, if I want to go to Africa tomorrow, if I want to go to Jamaica tomorrow, I can go. And will I go? No. Could I go? Could I go?
Yes. Yeah.
But it provides a comfort of just knowing that I could if I want to, but the discipline in me, I don't need that right now.
Yeah. Financial freedom and destination freedom.
What you got sentenced to how many years?
I got sentenced to 26 years.
And so that was in 99?
99.
That's so where did they send you
the baby
first?
The gun baby charge?
Where did they send you first?
I went to the Paris, to Basel.
Basel. How long was you there?
About 2.5 years. Look what happened. While I'm in Basel, because I'm on probation.
You hadn't been violated yet?
No, because while I'm on juvenile, my whole life I've been in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Since I probably, my rap sheet go back to 89, I was born in 80.
Two. Yeah.
So 9 years old for disturbing the peace. So it had to be a fight.
Right.
But why would you bring a 9-year-old to jail for a fight?
Yeah.
Why would you start that track record? Prison. You know what I'm saying? So at this time, you...
Conditioning.
You causing my attitude to be, fuck you. I don't like y'all. You know what I'm saying? So that started at 8-9 years old from the police.
Yep.
From a fight. You know what I'm saying? So while I'm on juvenile, when I come home from juvenile... jail, I was on juvenile probation. While I was on juvenile probation, I called an adult charge. So I'm on adult probation when I've come home from juvenile.
Because
I took probation to come home.
Yeah, that's when you did your 8 months?
Yeah. Okay. So while I'm on doing my 8 months, I'm fighting an adult charge. I'm just backing up juvenile time, but I take adult probation, so I come home on probation. So while I'm on probation, I catch my charge.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me upstate, so I'm backing up my time. When I fight my charge, I fought my charge for about two and a half, three years. Yeah. So I'm backing up my time. So they send me to De Quincy. Now, De Quincy at this time is a short time, a camp. You're only supposed to be there with 10 years or less.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm in De Quincy, I catch my time. But while I'm in De Quincy, they got me as a trustee. So I'm fighting a home robbery charge, and I'm a trustee in De Quincy going to walk.
Because they got you as your violated your probation. Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to walk. I'm walking on the highways, picking up trash every day. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Road crew.
The free man, probably a mile behind me. I'm thinking about escape every day. But I know if I do escape,
it's going to be bigger problems.
I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So once they found out that I had more time.
Took you off a trustee.
Took me off a trustee and shipped me instantly. Went to WCI. Stayed in WCI for about 13 years.
Yep. And that's where I met you.
Yeah, WCI.
So tell me about how, because, when I met you, you were already kind of refined. So I didn't get to meet
the I think it happened the day I got locked up.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you know, before I got locked up, I think it happened before I got locked up. Mm. Really. Because I used to tell people, man, I'm about to get killed, though. I'm about to go on a long chose. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what...
You prepared yourself.
Yeah, they like, man, you tripping, man. Why you saying some shit, man? My man, somebody about to kill me. I'm about to go on a long jokes. Long jokes caught me. So my mentality was like starting to, you know, hold on, Steven, you tripping. You know what I'm saying? You tripping. So the day I got locked up, it was like, transformation began. You know what I'm saying? I know it's going to be a journey. I know I'm here for a while. I know I can't come back home being the same 17, 18-year-old I was. Coming home, 34, 35 years old. I know I got family businesses. You know what I'm saying? My family got businesses out there. So how can I be an asset to them when I do come home? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be on heroin no more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking at everything the minute I get locked in from that day forward. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it took time.
Yeah, it takes time.
It took time, but it's still hard. You know what I'm saying? But it's possible. So when I was in jail, I utilized everything that was presented in front of me, from the education to the free people.
What programs did you take when you were at Rayburn?
And I took culinary. I was the head cook up there for about 10 years. I took welding. I took all them. I got.
Hey, did you know that Duke just died? He was in the welding shop. He was a tutor. It was him and
Cutthroat. Oh, Lil Duke?
No, not Lil Duke. Big Dookie. Or is it Dookie? Or Duke? He had the gold. He was the tutor at the welding shop.
I have to see
Big him. Old boy from New Orleans.
I have to see him.
I'll show him a picture.
So I took welding. I got my associates in automotive technology. I took all the religious courses they took. I took the college.
Through River Parish?
Through River Parish. That's what I did too. I took everything that I took, small engine, everything that they had to offer, I took.
You took it.
The Toastmasters programs, the JC programs, every educational program, I became a
Toastmaster.
Tutor. I became a tutor. I stepped out and took a paralegal course.
Yeah, because I saw you were tutoring in the GED building, wasn't you? Yeah. I remember that.
Once you get your associate's degree, you can
go to tutor. You go to tutor. And then you can make the incentive way.
$75 a month.
Yeah. I mean, it don't seem like a lot to people out there, $75 a month. But when you're josing and you ain't.
You don't need it and you just letting it stack.
It's nice.
It's nice. It's like a savings account that you just let it stack for a year. You know what I'm saying? Because you got other money.
That's like $900.
Is there a way that y'all can go back and check it? Like, is there like a computer lounge or something?
They give you a printout if you talk to banks.
So you just kind of look at it like, whoo.
I'm penitentiary rich. Yes.
So everybody.
I'm renting two or three lockers.
So dudes like, man, I need a tutor position because the tutors get paid the most. But they don't understand that shit hard.
Yeah. You got to deal with some.
You're trying to teach a 40-year-old man.
How to read
cat and dog.
Yeah. Tell him, on top of pride.
Yeah.
Tell the audience about. How many, I don't know if you know, but like, what's the statistics of guys that come into the penitentiary that don't know how to read and write or at like a first grade level?
I'm going to just put it like this. Between the first and the third grade level, you have a school building, right? And they probably got 4 class buildings.
In the education building,
right? The students couldn't fit in. They'll need 2 of those buildings to fit in. Well, 3, actually. But why? The reason I say that, because they start taking up half of the kitchen to teach them in the kitchen.
That's pre-GED class.
Right. So that's from your first grade to your damn near 5th grade. You know what I'm saying? And you're taking up damn near the whole kitchen.
Whole cafeteria.
Whole cafeteria to feed this body of people. So you probably, I'm going to say at least 70%.
Yep.
Dudes used to come to me so I could write their letters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I used to write their girlfriends and shit and get money. Dudes don't know how to read and write. It became a hustle.
That was a hustle. Yeah. You can sit there and read letters and
smoke
some
pancakes, or are you getting actual money to do this?
No, you getting money. If you come to me, like, dude might say, Steve, man, I just met my partner just put me down on this little chick. Her name Keisha. Like, you talk to her on the phone, he like, yeah, I told her I was going to write her, so she gave me the information. But you know I can't write, not just
I don't know the words.
So look, check this out. Look, I'm a writer, but I'm letting you know I want half of everything that come in. Man, I'm a writer, I want half.
Because you putting the pen game down.
Yeah, you putting the pen game, so about 2 weeks, 3 weeks now. First money ought to come might be for 50, so you make 25.
Okay, so right? Like now you're like,
he getting 25, you getting 25, because you just not writing just for a companionship. You writing for, I'm writing for you to fall in love with me, feel my pain, and want to help me.
Oh, that should be a TV show.
Now, Steve was an ethical writer. There are guys in there that are unethical, and let me tell you what they're doing. They get their ass busted. But then dudes that backdooring, trying to pick up the girl,
Back up. Yeah, because you got all the information, so they'll try to backdoor and holler at the chick on their own. But why? Because I'm making money. And I'm doing something I love to do. I love to write. I'm a writer. I used to write poetry and spoken words. So it's coming natural to me. It's coming.
It's probably nice with it, too.
You know what I'm saying? I'm nice, yes. I'm nice. I could listen. I used to bet dudes, if I write, she going to respond. And stand on that. Man, if I write, she going to respond.
Mail call Steven up there.
If I write, she going to respond.
It's like having a fantasy football team or something. Right. Like,
It been times they'll be like, Steve, come talk to us. She on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Hello, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? She don't know we're in jail. She might not talk to me for another 2 months. She don't remember my voice.
Yep. Hey, have you seen the clip with Mario the Entertainer from New Orleans? Where he's in that little Boosie movie where they're in the jail cell and he come up and he say and Boosie lets him talk to the chick on the phone. He's like, "What's that, love?"
Yeah,
he has that song. dude, that's the funniest clip ever, bro. Because he's got such a New Orleans accent and it sounds like every dude from New Orleans. But how they were, he's stomping his feet.
Right?
Yeah,
the system's something else. You can make some. They got dudes who make real probably more money than us.
Mm-hmm. They got dudes at Angola supporting families.
Yeah, they got dudes that make more money than us week to week in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one dude, he had 40,000 off strips.
Now what? Suboxone?
Suboxone. You know him. I just ain't gonna say his name.
Yeah, we're not gonna loud Calvin.
I ain't gonna loud Calvin. You heard me. 40 sitting in a cell at that. On lockdown.
Mm-hmm. They get creative, man, when it comes
to... On lockdown, 40,000.
Jim, your eyebrows are raised. What you got, bro? You want to know what a strip is?
How the hell
is
you do that?
Yeah. Well, we can't see. I refuse. Me and Steve aren't going to.
Oh, so it ain't...
It's a hustle. Like,
yeah, it's a hustle, Jim.
No, it's not a job. I mean, it's his job. It's not a legal job.
Let's just say doing more than smuggling something in his cheeks. Unless he's smuggling a lot in his cheeks.
Yeah. He ain't even smuggling it because he at this point now.
You ain't even got
to
smuggle it.
So you can like graduate to where you don't even have to smuggle in your cheeks.
So what year did you come home?
2015.
All right, 2015. So this makes 7 or 8 years you've been home.
February.
So let me ask you a question. What did it feel like when you heard that ink? And then you was outside of Rayburn Correctional.
You cried?
I did. Just to let you know if you want to share that you did too.
No, I think I just ain't sleep.
Yeah, dude. You get excited.
I went to work release my last six.
Oh, you was at work release. Where'd you go?
In Raceland.
Okay. So did you come home with any money?
Yeah, I was hustling. I was doing cleaning the tanks. Getting at the bottom of the boats, getting out there. Pressure washing. You got the fire hose stuff. Well, you're getting it ready before the engineer, because it's the mud that, when they go drilling, they drill in the earth, but they also pack that same hole up with.
Well, that's what my wife does. She sells mud, those tanks.
Right?
Yeah, so she works for HMT.
I was working for ES&H.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's the dude, he made millions for the BP spill. He made about $40 million. He was a young dude. He was probably about 41, 42. Damn. Jumped in the game. ES&H. So when I come home, I got a job over there by ES&H where we'll be working on turnkey.
You were able to transfer your job to?
I wasn't going to do that shit no more. That shit was hard. But look, I enjoyed, I come from the mentality of working because I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? I worked the whole time I was in.
Work release.
Work release. Not just in work release while I was in jail. I was the cook. You know what I'm saying? So I work, but I enjoy working. You know what I'm saying? So when I come there, you got the dudes who's not in work release working on a crew, then you got the dudes who just come home from jail, damn near became a supervisor. You know what I'm saying?
He was running everybody.
Yeah, I'm running everybody. But
that's the leader in you, though.
Right. But that let me know even before I come home, like, damn, boy, you ready for this? And I'm just thinking about that now, being put in that position, even in work release, to be damn near a supervisor amongst dudes that was
Free.
Free And it's a 12-man crew, and I'm the only one that got to go back to work release. But you know what I'm saying? I could get these dudes to make this shit happen, or I could get these dudes to lay down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because my influence. Because they know that at the end of the day, Steve going to make sure we straight. If I got to go down there in the hole for 2 hours and get this bitch together till the engineer come with the white glove and make sure nothing go on his finger. But I'm at work release. I'm hustling. I'm getting doubling up. Wow, yeah. Work. What y'all need? Y'all need somebody extra tonight? All right, cool. Sleep in the van.
That's right. So when you got out of work release, what'd you do?
When I come home, I think on the 22nd or 23rd, January, February 1st, I was working because I already had, you know, my family businesses. Yeah. So I immediately jumped into working because I knew I was going to spend the money that I had saved. I went and bought me a Beamer.
Yeah.
A 745.
Damn.
I see him.
I went bought me a Beamer because I come home with no responsibilities, no children. You know what I'm saying? With a little money, with, you know what I'm saying, working for a family company. I come home making $12 an hour. You know what I'm saying? But at this time, I'm fucked up with it. Like $12 an hour in a company I own 20% of. Y'all tripping. But my sister, like, you're not ready.
Tell the world what type of worker it is.
It's a home health company. My mama started a home health company, Axe Home Health, in 1992. We're a home health company. We serve 7 different regions here in New Orleans. On side of that company.
Speaking to the microphone.
On side of that company, we have a sister company, Able Life, where it's a PCA company. We opened that in 1999. Both companies are very vital here in New Orleans. We have over 140 employees. We're in over 300 homes, you know, daily. We have a ton.
So y'all provide home health and PCA.
And
so
PCA. So
nurses, LPNs.
We're skilled and unskilled. We have the skilled side, which is the home health side. You get your nurses, your therapy, you know, wound care. Then you have your PCA side where you just get your basic house
attendance
where, you know, that help you clean up, feed you, help bathe you. You know what I'm saying? It's a very vital company. And I think that, you know what I'm saying, my mama upbringing encourage all of us to be able to maintain it and, you know, be dedicated about it because, like I said, she was paralyzed.
Yeah.
So we used to tending to someone who need help from our mother's situation. You know what I'm saying?
Do you get satisfaction on people getting served every day and their health is in order and stuff like that?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, man, what we do is not for ourselves, it's for others. The love in our heart is not for us, it's for others. The knowledge that we have is not for us, it's for others. You know what I'm saying? We have to share it. If we'll be a selfish individual or person to think that shit for us. You know what I'm saying? What you learning today is not for you. That's for you to share to somebody tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So you have to see yourself in that realm of being that vessel. You know what I'm saying? Where you... when you share information and you loving, you helping somebody. I'm passionate about helping somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I like helping. I like assisting. You know what I'm saying? I
think tell us about the clothing company. Line.
Mannequin Black. I started this.
Plug it in. What is it again?
Mannequin Black.
What's the website name?
www.mannequinblack.com. Know the truth. Become the truth. Mannequin Black was established in 2017. Mannequin Black was established here in 2017 in New Orleans. It's a brand that I'm very passionate about. I done touched over 10,000 people throughout the world. I do a lot of festivals, so from Texas, Houston, Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? I like doing festivals because that be my basic target market, you know what I'm saying? But I have a store in New Orleans, 1830 St. Bernard. I've been there for about 2 years. It's in the heart of the community, which is very vital to the community.
Yeah, I popped up at the store one time. I sent him a picture. I forget what you did. Maybe you wasn't there that day.
I probably don't be there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I like to run it by appointments because I have a lot of other things going on. And not just the clothing brand, but I also have an embroidery business where I do embroidery and screen printing and direct the film.
Yeah, everybody I know that in New Orleans, they get their shirts from Steve. So if anybody
needs shirts,
it don't have to be New Orleans, but if you're around here
everywhere.
And you need shirts or anything, every nonprofit that I deal with, they get their shirts.
We probably need to get some P2P.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you today about that too.
So we got to get some P2P. Stay on them so we can get on it.
Yeah, get with me if you need any clothing products from screen prints and embroidery, from direct to film.
Tell them about the studio you're building.
We're building a studio right now at Workspace DB8 on the West Bank. It's been in existence for over a year. This first year was great. I'm proud of my sister because she was stepping out as a business, as an entrepreneur and not a business owner. She was a business owner for so many years that, you know, there's a difference between being a business owner and an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And she stepped out. Being an entrepreneur in the business has been successful. Well, she got copycats and shit now. You know what I'm saying?
You always gonna have those haters.
She got her copycats, but she steady adding more. She just did, every week she have something. A lot of people book with her, but she just did professional
photography.
Photography. So you go over there, you go get something faxed, you get a business address, you have a mailbox, you can hold your event there. She's also adding a studio, a recording studio, and a podcast studio. She do any type of printing.
Steve, you said something that caught my attention. You said there's a difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur. What does that mean to you?
A business owner and an entrepreneur, all right? I can use myself, for example. I'm a business owner and an entrepreneur. Being a business owner, I'm a business owner with Axe and Able. That's something I know I have to dot all my I's, cross all my T's.
That's the home health company?
That's the home health company. I have to wear my professional hat at all times. I'm passionate about it, but I think I'm more of a business owner there. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to make sure everything's flowing right. I want to make sure that the employees are in the best health mentally, physically. You know, I want to make sure everybody's satisfied. I want to make sure the energy is right. You know what I'm saying? I'm being a business owner. I'm maintaining what's established already. You know what I'm saying? Because I came into this situation
right. And
it's already established. A business owner basically maintains what's something that's already established because you're not really aiming to grow.
You're just maintaining.
You're maintaining. You're comfortable where you're at. You know what I'm saying? You ever saw somebody have a business and they just have, you know, all I do is this. You know what I'm saying? All I do is fencing, you know what I'm saying? They're not trying to add. I do fencing and
gates.
Gutters, right?
Yeah.
So they're being a business owner. But an entrepreneur would be, look, I do fences, I do roofs, you know what I'm saying? Now, because they're trying to expand now. Now they're trying to solve a problem. They're trying to solve.
Close gaps.
They're trying to solve a problem. They're trying to fulfill a need, you know what I'm saying? And that's the difference. And with my sister, she was a business owner. She maintained the business to the top of the T, right? So when she stepped out into entrepreneurship, it's something new. It's something challenging. It's something unfamiliar.
It's out of her realm.
It's out of your realm. So it's about to cause you to be someone who you didn't think you could become.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's about to challenge you more than a business owner. A business owner maintaining because it's like being plugged
into
the job.
In.
No, a business owner is like maintaining what you already know how to maintain.
Comfortability. Entrepreneurs being comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
And before you go any further, you know why guys like us, drug dealers, we're past drug dealers, make great entrepreneurs? Because when we're in the streets, if you're anything like me, I didn't want to just sell weed.
No.
We sell everything.
No, sell everything.
Except for like acid and crack. Well, I never sold crack, but those are probably the only two things.
And watch your mouth.
But see, that's like me. With my clothing, Mannequin Black, I've been selling it for, 2017. When I first come out the gate, I had someone else making my product, right? So now I'm getting my shirts. I'm getting my shirts screen printed, and I'm getting my hats embroidered. My hats costing me $675. $650 per hat. I'm getting 200 hats done at a time because the brand popping. So I got to keep up. I'm like, damn, shit getting expensive. My overhead, you know what I'm saying? So now my profit margin. So I had to, you know what? How much a screen printing cost? Bought me a screen printer. Learn how to do that. How much an embroidery machine cost? Let me buy me an embroidery machine. So now I'm doing it for my brand, but now I just expanded. Hey, you need some embroidery?
Yeah. You know I already got the stuff.
I got the stuff, and since I started doing that, it's been beautiful. But to go back to what you said about entrepreneur and business owner,
I'm about hold that thought because that battery's dying. Can you change it real quick?
It's almost about to over.
Okay, all right. So, finish that thought, and then we got to wrap it up.
I'm about to start a new business. It's called Running Mates Dog Business. I'm the first one. I'm the first one here in New Orleans with the business. And what it is we're a mobile dog training facility where we pull up to the resident's house, let their dog run on the treadmill for 30 minutes.
Hell yeah.
And we're on to the next client.
Let's go.
They have so many benefits with running your dog. For one, it helps your dog become more focused. It helps your dog become a happier animal, a happier pet.
Dog being a dog.
Dogs have a slower heartbeats than human. I'm a CPR instructor as well.
Damn, chill out.
I'm a businessman because I don't like putting all my eggs in one pot. And like he said, we hustlers.
Yeah.
I never want to get back to the point where I'm fucked up behind money.
Yeah.
Because money is the trigger to all this shit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We doing what we doing now, not just for the money, but you know what I'm saying? We know that it has to generate
something.
And hopefully it generates thought. And the change of thought should change the way money flow for you.
There we go.
Spoken like a real wise man.
Yeah, Steve, make sure y'all tap in. Running Mate's Dog Training is going to be the
best. You got a website? Yeah. I'm going to be looking out for it, but I know I'm getting some shirts from Mankin Black.
Yeah, it's going to be the best new business in New Orleans.
Steve, we appreciate you coming on. I look forward to continuing to watch your success, and I'm proud of you, dude.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it. It takes
a lot to come from the places that we come from to come out here and make it happen, but that man's a bona fide hustler, so.
I appreciate you, man. You've always been somebody I admire, even if, you know, it wasn't verbally said, it was seen from a distance from the way you carry yourself.
Absolutely.
You always put yourself in the best position and always handle yourself as a man.
Yeah.
You always honor your words. When you asked me to come, I gave you my word. I got to honor that.
Appreciate
you. You've been a good dude.
Thank you.
Been a good dude. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all.